Wine is unlike anything else that I can think of.
Sometimes with all the glitz and glamour of Napa, we forget this whole thing is based on families growing grapes, you know?
Potentially, this is a fantastic year, but anything can change on a dime, right?
And everything's good in life, you just have to make a natural judgment, not be too tricky in your mind. I like it, I don't like it.
Davis himself thinks that it's kind of a big load of hooey. People probably use more than maybe two or three descriptors for a wine. He just thinks they're just making it up.
I kind of fired myself. I mean, I couldn't be a one-man operation forever.
There's always something to do. There's replanting, there's barrels, there's maintenance.
Because so many people use mobile bottling lines right now, and everything has to come, the labels, the corks, everything has to come together at the same time and be there when the truck shows up.
Being able to grow up in wine, you have this passion and love for wine and the culture of wine, and everything else sort of pales in comparison.
We say, so drink the wine. That's kind of our motto here at Life Between the Vines. One of the cool things about wine, besides drinking it, is the people you drink it with. And the stories you hear and tell with wine all come together to make every bottle unique. Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle.
And welcome to podcast number 244. This week we feature Federico Ceretto of Ceretto Wines in the Piedmont region of Italy. This podcast was recorded in Italy.
This podcast is sponsored by Release Winery. Every wine tells a story. Each growing season, it's our goal to create an artisan Napa Valley wine of exceptional quality. Join us as the story of this ultra-limited wine continues. Learn more at releasewinery.com.
Wine is incredibly diverse. If you're open to it, you'll make discoveries from all over the world. The gift of fermented juice is abundant. The trick is to learn. And that door can be opened at any time. It's up to you to walk through it. We suggest you do so, because it's going to be a heck of a lot of fun. This is the first of four podcasts featuring interviews with winemakers from the Piedmont region of Italy. We visited several wineries in the Asti DOCG, and our eyes were opened. We begin with Federico Ceretto of Ceretto Wines. I'm here with Federico Ceretto of Ceretto Winery. How are you today?
Good. Really good. Really good. Middle of the harvest, so it's good and concentrated.
A stressful year, no less.
Si.
Yeah. Si. No water. You were
no water. We are under pressure. The vineyards are a little bit in a stress of lack of water. So we are running against the heat because we're supposed to be in the north of Italy, in Piedmont near the mountains, and have a cold harvest. In reality, we are in the middle of the most Mediterranean climate, and it's not going to change for another 3 weeks, so we need to run. It's going to be fast.
So this could happen any moment for you then, pretty much?
So,
yeah.
So. Well, Arneis that we finished today was, it's 31st of August, and we finished the white wine harvest that for us is the biggest. So we did 75% of the work in half of the time.
Wow.
So.
Were you harvesting at night then, or?
No. Not yet. We start at 5 o'clock in the morning. We harvest at night. Usually works for the places where you have a problem of temperature of the grape. So you harvest at night because at least you bring grape with a temperature that is not too high. And then so in fermentation you don't go to all the way up. In Piemonte we don't have this problem.
That's good. I'm sorry, I'm going to warn you just because of the table. It's loud. No, that's okay. You can lean on the table, but it's that, you know. I'm just going to yell at you through the whole interview.
Like at the boarding school.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wouldn't know about that myself.
I was a great student, so they sent me to the boarding school.
Is that how that works? And did you learn?
I learned, yes. Trust me. 1 year, it's enough.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the military service. 1 year, it's enough.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Well, yeah. That would teach you. You pretty much behave after that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Only to get
priest.
Out.
Priest. Catholic country, priest.
Yeah, I did grade school, so, Catholic school, so I have the scars still. I think all of us do.
This has been a great morning. We've been in Asti, but we're in a different province here, right?
We are in the province of Cuneo, under the town of Alba. Alba is the capital of the wine district called Langhe. So Asti and Alba are technically two towns. They form the fine wine district. So everybody here would love to have the Asti and Alba province because half of the population around here lives with the grape, wine, winery, working in this industry. So Alba and Asti should be together, but politicians, they prefer to keep it separate. So we are brothers or cousins. Better cousins.
Cousins sound good. Well, let's talk about you for a minute, your own background. Were you born here in this area?
Si, yeah. Si. Raised and born and raised in Langhe.
Nice. This is a great place to grow up, I bet.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. Because the world, fantastic for my generation. My generation is the first generation where we grow up thinking of going around the world and talk about our wines, our products, hazelnut, meat, restaurants. And everybody welcomes us around the world. Ah, fantastico, you make this, you produce this, you cook this. And it's great. The generation of my grandfather, so 50, 60 years ago, this was different. Here was different. Here was a poor, cold territory, tough for agriculture, and Italian wine was not on top of the world like it is today. The tradition of vintners and farmers here, it's long, but the success, it's only two generations. So I'm the lucky one.
So why did he start making wine?
Here? You mean the territory?
Your grandfather.
Well, my grandfather started to make wine. Okay, good question. People don't know, but in wine territories, for a couple of hundred years, making wine was one very distinctive job from growing grape. So there were vintners only and wine producers only. Many, 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 many vintners, or for example, in south of Italy or South America, huge, large properties, delivering the grape to facilities, so to big wineries, blending everything together, because wine, especially in the Mediterranean area, wine was part of our nutrition, part of our diet.
It was
our meal. So you were making white wine, red wine, and then depending of the region, a little bit of different grapes, but that's it. But the pride of the vintners won against the commercial interest of the facilities of the big wineries, of the co-op. Today we will call them co-op. And so each individual vintner started to think, my property, my know-how, my father's knowledge, my grandfather's knowledge, my family experience can make better wines than this. So don't mix it. I want to make my own wine. And here is how I started in Burgundy after the monks, in Italy after the noble families, the royal family, for example, in Piemonte. So individuals, the pride of individuals. This is why today the land costs so much and the wine are so good. Because somehow we want to do the best of the best of the best every time from our land. Pride. So, sorry, I didn't answer your question. So my grandfather moved to Alba making wine because working in the vineyards in the 30s, in the 40s was miserable, was really tough. So he said, it's much better if I go and open my own winery and let the vintners do the hard work and I buy the grape or buy the wine and make the wine. So my grandfather was first a négociant. He started to buy grape and wine in Alba, but then he immediately changed his mind, also thanks to my father and my uncle, and he changed his mind and said, you know what, I remember we can buy better grape than this. We can produce better wine if we have better grapes. So he went back after 20 years to his previous life and said, we need to buy vineyards. He moved from Moscato. My grandfather's from Moscato, my family. This is why I'm here with you, because for my family, Moscato is in our DNA. He came from Moscato to Alba. From Alba, he started to buy vineyard in Barolo and Barbaresque, because red wine and Nebbiolo grape started to be more interesting, more successful. My uncle Marcello is a great winemaker and an excellent agronomist. He selected the best vineyards, some of the best vineyards. He bought when Ferrero Company, I told you the story, when right. The Ferrero Company started to hire vintners and landowners to work at the factory. And then we started to make distinguished wines. And then Arnaiz, back in Moscato in the late 70s, here in Alba with the Monsordo. And look, the magic. We are pioneers and people who lived the magic.
Yeah, while we're talking, I'm going to put a shot in here of where we're sitting on this patio, looking at pretty much heaven, I would say. Wouldn't you agree?
Say, I agree.
It's a stunning piece of property.
It's we are guardians.
Yeah.
We often say we are guardians. This is the feeling we have when we talk to each other. The feeling we have. We don't want this to change. We can do a little bit better. Now we are more knowledgeable, even in viticulture, in organic procedures, biodynamic procedures. We fully understand the nature today, and we are closer. It's an amazing revolution, because my grandfather escaped from the nature. Because it was hard work in a climate, in a microclimate that is so up and down. Mountains, Piedmont, or Mediterranean Sea. Hot, cold, humid, dry, frost, or African winds. And no machinery in the 30s. No laboratories, no analysis. It was all based on your hard work and your intuition. Yeah. How do you say? Yeah.
What's in your gut?
Yeah, and a lot of prey.
Yeah.
But today, no. Today, we are more close to the nature than my grandfather was. More respect, but we know exactly what's going on.
You were talking about harmony before. That
yes.
Everything is right now in harmony in this property.
Yeah.
What I love, though, is hearing you talk about the mules.
Yeah.
Cleaning up the property.
Yes.
Tell me about that again, if you would.
See, we have an issue. Like we have a property here, 20 hectares of vineyards, and in between there are 7 hectares of forest. And forest, you have a problem of bugs, of things that can arrive from the forest to the vineyard. So the forest has to be very clean. What do you do? Goats, they eat everything, including the vines, the sprouts. Cows, complicated. Donkeys. We found a girl here who raised 100 donkeys, female, for the milk. And she doesn't know where to put some of them, all of them, during the day, because they have to stay outside. They have to eat the grass.
Sure.
So we said, okay, bring in 20 of them. And they clean. They stay 6 months on holiday here outside. They are super happy. They eat. All the grass, all the flowers in the forest, they clean. And you know who is the happiest? We are happy. The happiest are the truffle hunters,
really?
Because in October they find the forest completely clean. And they go, the dog can go in it and find all the truffles. Without it's easy to walk in, it's easy to scratch the soil. My grandfather, the generation of my grandfather in the 50s, for a problem like that, they would have used a chemical solution to spray and make all the forest surface clean. Killing.
Killing, yeah.
Not the donkey, recycle. Eat, do his own fertilization on the ground. The next year, a better life, not killing and then replanting, killing, replanting, killing, replanting. Using machine to dig and destroy everything and then replanting. No.
No, no, it's natural.
Let the nature. The nature has cycles.
They don't bother the grapes in any way?
No. No, no, no. We were curious. Even we were curious when the grape was sweet. They're not interested. Horses are very interested into sweet. The donkeys, no. Donkeys are salt. Crazy.
I never would have thought. It's the perfect solution to a problem.
It's the perfect solution. It took us 15 years, but when we had it, we used it.
Let's face it, who would have thought of something like that, right?
But she came and she said, "I, if you let me leave the donkeys, they will clean the forest." You're like, really? Really? Oh, yeah.
Only one way to find out.
The first idea for us was the cow. For the manure. But too much problem. They don't move.
Let's talk about the wine that you're making specifically.
We do red wines, white wine, specifically a white wine, Arnaise, that is our most popular wine, and Moscato, of course, Moscato d'Asti and Asti Spumante. Red wines, basically, we still produce the same wine that my grandfather used to produce, with the difference that we started to buy the vineyards and now we own the vineyards where we produce the wine. So those are our historical wine. This is a red wine territory. Barbera, Dolcetto, Barolo, Nebbiolo. Arnaise, it's our great project. We crossed the river, we went in Roero area, and instead of planting Barbera and Nebbiolo, we started with the Arnaise together with the Vietti and Giacosa, Bruno Giacosa. And three Barolo producers went to the other side of the river, plant Arnaise, and today is Arnaise white wine. It's the most successful white wine of Piemonte, better than Gavi, I would say. Success, no quality, just success. And Blanget, our wine, is the number one white wine in restaurants in Italy. Our Blanget, I would say very proud that it's the way that Italian people like to drink a glass of white wine. You will have it tomorrow. Tomorrow. Today, the wine from here. Today, Langherosta. You are in a Monsordo estate, you drink Monsordo. Makes sense, yeah.
About how many cases are you doing?
We do about 20,000 cases of red wines. And 40,000 cases of white wine, and it goes. But it's like a pyramid, no? A reverse pyramid. White, red, Barolo, Barbaresco. So closer you go, because of course when you want to do the top of the quality, here is Nebbiolo from Barolo and Barbaresco, and you can vinify little parcels. In Roero, when we arrived, it was possible to buy estates of 20 hectares, 25 hectares. That, not today in Barolo, you can buy 20 yards.
Not going to do you a lot of good. For you, when you were growing up, was there any other choice for you? Or is this exactly what you wanted to do?
Well, I answer in another. Well, for my father, no. You do this. You take my job. Here is my bag. And you do my job. But I grew up in heaven. I mean, I've been running around this when I was a kid. I was playing soccer between the rows. I was studying in the cellar with my school books. Our CEO, such a big word, our CEO, his first job was to take me to the Luna Park when I was 7 years old.
Really? Really?
He was the first assistant of my grandfather, of my uncle in the cellar. His first job was like the first day I worked with you, they gave me the keys of the car. You were 7 years old, and we took you to the Luna Park. And today is our CEO. It's a family. So it's natural. I don't know if I had another choice, but this is where I arrived, where I landed naturally.
Clearly, this is where you belong.
Yes.
For our listeners who'd like to learn about you online, on the web, how would they find out about you?
Ceretto.com and Facebook, internet. I think Facebook is Ceretto Winery.
We've had a busy day ahead here, and I don't want to keep you all day, but Federico.
Federico, perfetto, bravissimo.
Perfetto. Thanks very much for your
grazie,
time.
Grazie, grazie mille. Grazie. Ciao, ciao, ciao.
Ciao.
Learn more by visiting Geneto.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Release Winery. Every wine tells a story. Each growing season, it's our goal to create an artisan Napa Valley wine of exceptional quality. Join us as the story of this ultra-limited wine continues. Learn more at releasewinery.com.
Thanks for listening, and remember to like us on Facebook. Also, check out our YouTube channel.
Life Between the Vines is produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Theme song and original music written and recorded by Tim Dondarevo. Our host is Kay Paskoff. Web design by Jenny Holland. Our graphics and website specialist is Lawton Hall. Our web geek is Dan Gieschen. Photos by Jeanette Herniak. Copyright 2017.